This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That is the core of the Torah, period. That's it. The entire five books of the Torah is that statement. And that statement is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is... Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is... Thank you. And you should love the Lord your God with all your... With all your... With all your... With your everythingness. That's what the translated word is. But actually, you did well. You did well. For a while there, you were a little asleep, but you got better. And the second is like unto it. Absolutely. This is it. This is the entire meaning of the entire Hebrew Testament. And the word Shema, and they say it Shema. I'm not very good at Hebrew, but I love it. It means listen. It means listen. We are to listen. And that doesn't mean when we're hearing somebody talk to us that we're thinking about what we're going to say next. I do that all the time. I don't know about you. I do it all the time. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be listening. When Paul and Barbara and I, Mother Kimberly, went to this College of Congregational Development, a lot of the focus is on Benedictine practices. And the Benedictine practices are complicated, but there is a cycle that's really important that we studied at the Centering Prayer on Wednesday, and that is you have stability, obedience, and then conversion of life. This is how you're supposed to be living your life. So stability. How do we have stability when the ground is moving all the time? But that's what we have to do. We're called to be stable. We're called to be obedient. And you know, I have to be honest, we all know that obedience has kind of become negative connotations, right? It's more like a dog being obedient. But no, it's about listening. It comes from the word listening when you're obedient. And then you have a conversion of life. You become different. We are always trying to become different. So this is really important, very important. How are we to stand on solid ground with our relationships? So we say, who is our neighbor? And when we are listening, how do we know whether it's God talking or whether we're listening to ourselves? And Bishop Curry kind of makes that very clear. He said, if it's not about love, it's not about... Exactly. And that's exactly one way you can do the test. Is this about what I'm saying, or is this about what God is saying? We don't like to listen, though, I don't think. Sometimes we just go along with the group, or we just listen and then do something different. It happens all the time with us, I think. I've been thinking about this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the entire Gospels, this one and the prodigal son. And it's really amazing because... we still are suffering from not knowing who our neighbor is. We are still not getting it. If you listen to the news this morning, I listened to it and I thought, oh my gosh, there it is again. There was a rickshaw driver in India who would not speak. He was speaking Hindi instead of the native tongue, and they attacked him. They beat him up. They beat him up. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Happens all over the world. But we do have these people, these good Samaritans. And these good Samaritans that Jesus talks about are really important. It's so important that it's laws. You know, it's laws in our country, the Good Samaritan laws. And they're different according to each state. But they're very interesting because they're very complex. And I would say to you, go and Google them and read about them. We even have a hospital, right, named Good Samaritan, Good Sam. And that's about what are we doing with our neighbors? I often think about a movie that I happen to teach a lot. It's called Hotel Rwanda. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but in Hotel Rwanda, Paul is, he's a Hutu and his wife is a Tutsi, and when the genocide comes, you know, 1 million people were murdered during that genocide. 1 million people were murdered, innocent people. And what Paul did was he set up the hotel where he was, and then he ended up taking care of both Tutsis and Hutus. He didn't care which they were, which tribe they were. And he was able to save thousands of people. He is a good Samaritan. It's a wonderful movie if you watch it. And it was really kind of sad in some parts because there were parts where you just knew that he felt completely powerless because people were just slaughtering each other and he couldn't stop it. But then I also think about what happened in Central Texas over the 4th of July. Doesn't that show you how we need good Samaritans? Think of all the good Samaritans that acted and saved lives during that horrific, horrific time. It's still going on. Has it gone down from 170 that are lost? I don't know. The last time I heard, it was 170 people are lost. Just imagine that, how horrific that is. And the lives lost are irreplaceable. They'll never go away, this loss. But you need to learn how to, or we all need to learn how to think about how can we create a new life. That's what Reverend Wendy told me when Katie died. She said, I have to have a whole new creation when her daughter died. I have to create a whole new life. And you never get over it. You never get over that kind of loss. But what you do is you learn how to compensate in some ways. So how do we get through that? We support each other. We have empathy and support. Everybody has a challenging life. Everybody suffers, and everybody has pain and grief. We have to survive by holding each other up. And this story is very clear about going back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, where God says people are made in the image of God. They're not God. We are not God. Get that clear, right? But we're made in the image of God. So each of us has a piece of God in us. So everybody is worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. We're about to do a baptism at the next service. And that's one of the major promises, isn't it? To respect the human dignity of every human being. Why is it still just not getting through? I don't know. This story also has a lot to do with privilege and title. We don't even know what our privilege is. This is kind of off topic, but I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I went to a scholarship meeting, a group of women that I'm in. It's called PEO. It's to raise scholarship money for girls. And I was there, and you know, I get a little defensive about Miami because everybody treats Miami like it's a hellhole, and it's gorgeous. I love Miami. Stop. And they said something about Miami Shores Country Club. We're going to have our next gathering of all the PEOs. And somebody went, oh, my God, we have to go there. I was way down south. I was past Coral Gables. And I said, hey, be careful. That's where I'm from. I'm from Miami Shores. And I was going all along thinking how great I am and everything. And this woman who went to high school with me, she was 2 years younger, she said to me, Miami Shores Country Club, I really wish I could have had my wedding reception there, but my parents couldn't afford it. And it hit me like a rock, because guess where Charlie and I had our reception? At the Miami Shores Country Club. And I said to Charlie, you know, I just took it for granted that we were going to have the reception there. I didn't think about it twice. Mom and Dad were going to cover it. We take so much for granted. So much for granted. We have to think about how much we have and how we can give back and how we can show gratitude. But these two people don't show gratitude. They're privileged. One's a Levite and one's a priest, and they don't care. I think during that time, you're supposed to be shocked that these two people just walk by and ignore this man suffering on the side of the road. I understand that I'm going to call him out, and he's going to probably never speak to me again. But Hank, this week, was driving on 95 and pulled over and helped somebody, saved somebody's life. Hank is a good Samaritan. Hank is a good Samaritan. I know, I wasn't supposed to say that. You like to keep it under wraps, but still, that's exactly what we're talking about. That took a lot of courage, especially on 95. Oh my Lord, I have to take that every day. So anyway, this is really hard for us to fathom, but you see, the Samaritans, they called them half-breeds, and they also worshiped in a different temple. That's what they were fighting over. Think about how stupid that is. I mean, and I'm not even going to get into what has happened in our country with Democrats and Republicans. You know, they're both people worthy of dignity and respect, no matter which side you fall on. We have to love one another as God loves us. But it's really hard. It's really, really hard. So we have to listen. We have to listen to the unconditional love of God. God has no conditions on whom God loves. That's hard for us to tolerate because we think we have judgment. We judge each other. It's clear in Matthew 25, isn't it? Whatever you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. That's what Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us that outright. And remember, I've said this many times, Mother Teresa said the way she could heal everyone was to see the face of Jesus in them, period. She didn't care what religion they were or where they came from, which culture. We are to show each other mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and recognize that one person isn't limited by just one action that they committed. We're bigger than that. And sometimes we feel like, okay, well, that person should be punished. Well, it's not our job to punish other people. It's not. And as I was reading about this, I found this wonderful poem to end my sermon on called Mercy. She asked me to kill the spider. Instead, I get the most peaceful weapons I can find. I take a cup and a napkin. I catch the spider, put it outside, and allow it to walk away. If I'm ever caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, just being alive and not bothering anyone, I hope I'm greeted with the same kind of mercy. Amen.